Go ahead and open to Romans 12, but we'll just pick up. We're going to launch off from there. We're not going to repeat this morning. We're really going to connect up this morning, though, with last Sunday night about the transformation that we're all involved in and learning really to walk like who we are. He's already, by grace, made us His Son. He's already put that nature on the inside of us. But how many of you have noticed that possessing the land of walking as a son of God is not instantaneous? Have you all noticed that? Okay, there's some warfare involved. I've noticed it in my life. People are looking like, what? What? I don't know. So we went through Romans 12, the full chapter this morning, pretty carefully. Let's just go to the end of it and look at the, you know, it starts off saying, don't be conformed to this world. Do not be like the world. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And really, again now, when I'd read that, I just always thought, it's renewing of the mind. I thought, knowledge. You got to think different. And that is a big part of it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you hear God's Word, you find out how He thinks, and then that changes how you think. So changing your thought pattern does have a lot to do with it. But the mind is more than just intellect. Contained within your mind is your soul. You know, it's your... What I mean is it's your emotions, it's your memories, it's where you've been hurt, it's why you put up walls and isolate yourself from people, and why some people drink, and why some people seek refuge in drugs, and others do other things. And oftentimes we don't even know why we do the things that we do. But all of it has to do with the emotions. It's the whole you. It's not just intellect. That knowledge is part of it, all right. But we've got to be healed in every area, okay, transformed in every area. And I'm especially now as Dave is leading us into more of the love of God. Boy, that, I'll tell you right now, those of you that has found your true love, which, you know, I have, those of you that have children, those of you that have grandchildren, love will make you do just irrational things. Way beyond the intellect, you know. Your mind will be going, no, 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 and your heart goes, yes, 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 you know. So this transformation, really, it says renewing of the mind, but it's renewing of all of the mind, including the emotions and your heart motivations, and you start lining up with God's heart. Now, a perfect example of that is, he says, don't be like the world. Well, as he concludes Romans 12, let's just pick it up where we ended this morning, just verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Okay. But rather, give place. Well, let's back up. Let's don't leave out 17. That's a good one. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Now, they come and they did something evil to you. Here we are back at Luke 6, for those of you that's been here for those teachings out of Luke 6. Pray for those that despitefully use you, do good to those that, all those horrible things, you know, they're taking away your goods by force and don't even ask them again, and trust God to make it back up. All of those things, people, that's not the way the world does it. See? And here when it says recompense to no man evil for evil, the world says, you know, yeah, don't get mad, get even, and a lot of other similar type statements. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I touched on that, I think, pretty well this morning. But then verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Trouble of it is, when he repays, he's going to do his best to get that person saved. That's how he'll take vengeance on the devil if he possibly can. He'll take vengeance, all right. He'll get them saved. You were going, God, that's not what I had in mind. I wanted fire and brimstone to come down from heaven. And he says, no, I want them saved. Well, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Oh, everybody does that. Yeah. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that would be a real good motto for our life. Overcome evil with good. Why are we here? You could just say, I'm here to overcome evil with good. See? Now, the flesh, while we've got that thinking, and you see, okay, that's the end result. That's where we're, that's the love of God that we're walking into. Okay? Now, the flesh has a few things to say about that. So go over to, now, we're going to go back to Romans 8, so pinch Romans 12, that's close. But go over to Galatians 5, let's take a quick look, quick refresher look at the flesh here. See, even though you are born again, you will never be more born again than you are right now. You can't be more his child than you are legally, positionally. You are his child. You're not going to be born again. Okay? But now, how much of that new nature possesses your soul? Could I say it that way? To me, your soul is like the promised land. Here comes the Spirit of God. And he's come to possess the land. And here we've talked about the ites before. There's all kinds of ites in the soul. You know, if we don't want to go up against those giants. God, there be giants in the land. You know, he says, oh, don't worry, I shall be with you. We shall conquer the ites. And I'm going, these ites have whipped my britches off many times before. You know, in my case, there was pornites, drinkingites, smokeites, and then here we're going to find angryites, wrathites, fornicites. They're all going, we don't want to go there, God. We don't want to go there. And he's going, they're going to possess the land. My spirit shall be with you. Let us go up at once. And we're going, no, yes, no. Remember the last time we came against some of those ites, you know. Well, here says, you're going to go in, you're going to overcome evil with good. You're going to be this person that when they do you evil, you're going to love them back. And that's the kind of person you are. And you go, bet me. He says, well, keep praying. We're going to renew that mind, the whole mind with my spirit. But see, the flesh is going to fight you. Because no matter, you're already born again, but that flesh, man. And it's not just the flesh that we're wearing. For years, I couldn't quite get that. But now, the flesh that you're wearing is fallen. I mean, it dislikes stuff. Okay. Doesn't matter whether it's good for you or not. It doesn't, you know. But as we read this, you'll notice a lot of these things are not really in your skin. They're not in the flesh that way. They're in that part of the soul. So let's look at them here. Let's pick it up in Galatians 5, starting in 19. It says, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, see, the flesh, the way I define the flesh now as not only our physical bodies, but every part of the soul that has not yet been transformed to be like Christ. So the flesh, unrenewed, thinks all this stuff is great. The flesh likes. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. The flesh goes, what's wrong with that? Hey, in human history, you just track it. Monogamy was not the standard in most cultures, you know. And even if they were supposed to be married to one wife, like, you know, that it still is, that doesn't restrain the flesh all the way, always. So adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. That word witchcraft there is the Greek word for sorcery, by the way. Remember I taught on that one day? I don't have the Greek word right in front of me, but that's what that's really talking about. A better translation in our day would be drug use. Yeah. Using any kind of drugs for an escape, or a hallucinogen to escape reality, to alter your perceived reality for a while. That's the kind of witchcraft they're talking about there only applies to pharmakia. That's the word I was thinking of. It has to do with drugs. It only has to do with that. Then it's not in any other kind of, it's not, you know, the image we have of three little witches with hook nose and the chin, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. It's not that kind of witchcraft. This is pharmakia. Okay. So, but the flesh likes a high. Yeah, buddy, that last trip was a good one. I can't wait till the next one. You know, the flesh thinks that's great. And the trouble of it is, it's going to continue to think that's great. Unless you the thing about the flesh, it's just like a horse. You can train that rascal. Gary, how do you know that? You know how I know that. You know how I know? I mean, And I can also retrain it to go back to it if I decided to. I could start drinking. I haven't had a drink in over 30 years. It's my choice. I don't tell anyone else to be a teetotaler. I learned in my life I'm better off without the stuff. Okay? You do what you do. All right? Just don't get drunk. All right? But for me, I'm just better off. I haven't had one in 30 years. I compare my life before, my life after. I'm better off without the stuff. Okay? But you know, I could go back. I could, and my flesh doesn't crave it anymore. And even the more worse one to me was smoking. See, I smoked before I was drinking. I smoked after I was drinking. And for all that time, I mean, I didn't know how to handle stress. I mean, just any little thing and boy, here we go. You know, it was my stress reliever, see? And it was tough. We've been through all that. It was difficult to get my flesh off of that. Okay? Now, but I tell you, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't smoking, but I wanted to walk around and follow people that were. I mean, you know, just let me just breathe the exhaust fumes. Have that, you know, it's better than nothing. You know, but see now, it's been so many years now. My flesh, it thinks it's putrid and horrible. I can't believe I ever did it. You know, be like licking an ashtray. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, yeah. But right on the other hand, now here's the craziness of the flesh. I could train it to go back. You know, I just start. Well, in your flesh, you go, let's have another one. Wouldn't be very long. Be just right back there hooked again. See, so the flesh can be trained is what I'm saying. Now, okay, so witchcraft. We took a little side journey there because of the pharmakia. Now, I got to tell you guys, it was a great day when I found that out. Because before that, I was going, now how in the world is bubble, toil and trouble? How is that a work of the flesh? Because everything else here was under my control. What I mean is it was, you know, but how do you control other people, bubble, toil and trouble? See, anyway, it was a big one for me. May not mean anything to you, but, but now here's this one, hatred. Uh-oh. Does hatred come from your elbow? Does it come from your knee? Hatred is not a product of the human body, is it? Where does hatred originate? Oh, we're back into the soul now. See, we're talking about those hatred. It's like, they did evil to me. If I thought I could get away with it and not get caught, I would show them some hatred right back. I'd do some evil right back, see? Hatred, it's a work of the flesh. It's a work of the unrenewed part of us. It's got to be renewed if we're going to walk in the true love of God. See, some more here. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. How about wrath? How about strife? Seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. You know, murder is just a pretty severe work of the flesh. But murders are not concocted from your ankle. You know, the ankle doesn't go, I'm going to murder that guy. Can you tell it's part of the soul is what I'm saying? This flesh there is, it's all of this is, when it says in Romans 12, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, all of these things are included in that. The part of you that hates, the part of you that wants to get even, the part of you that wants, you know, all of that retribution, revenge, all of that is still part of the soul, and it's got to be transformed by the love of God. To think like God and see people the way He sees them. See, that's where we're headed. All right, that's now go back to a chapter I know you've never read in many years, and that's Romans 8. Romans 8. Because I want you to have that definition of the flesh, the understanding. We are not talking about just your skin. We're not talking about just the skeletal structure. We're talking about that, but every area of the soul. That's not yet transformed to be like Christ. So, you know how Dave took us eloquently through Romans chapter 8 on the born again trail. And again, I'll take a brief commercial. If you have not heard Pastor Dave's teachings on the born again trail, you don't have anything else to do as far as I'm concerned in your spare time. Now, if you got a job, you have something else to do. But in your spare time, you really have nothing else to do. I don't know anywhere on earth you can go and get the foundation that you will get there. And line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. And it's a lot to listen to now. It's six volumes, 10 messages in each volume. But it is so excellent. And you will not be the same person when you get through as you were when you started. So he eloquently took us through here very carefully, line by line, verse by verse. And we're not going to obviously do that in the next 30 minutes here, but let's do pick it up in verse 9. I want to see this. I want you to see this work of the flesh, because what we forget is there is a suffering involved. There is a suffering involved in overcoming the flesh. All right? So verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And Dave says now, for years he thought, well, maybe that means, you know, there's a little Jesus running around on the inside of him. You know, what does it mean, the Spirit of Christ? Well, by the time he gets through with you on the born again trail, to make it so simple, when you were first born again, you had the spirit of Adam. You didn't have Adam's human spirit, but you were born of his spirit. It was passed down. That death nature, that sin nature was passed down generation to generation to generation. So when you were first born from your mother's womb, you could put little s, the spirit of Adam, or what the Bible calls the spirit of the world. Because everybody in the whole world is born of that spirit. But when you get born again, see, Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. When you get born again, he becomes your Adam. And in the very same way that when you're first born, you were born of Adam's spirit. When you get born again, that's why we call it that. When you get born again, you are reborn from the spiritual DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You are born of his spirit. And you have a nature on the inside of you. Now, it may come in like a little mustard seed. It may be the smallest seed. You know, picture your soul like a big garden that's got all kinds of weeds. You know? And God drops into new nature. Plop. I just come back from seeing the Sequoia Redwood Forest. I mean, if you've ever been there, pictures cannot do it justice. Until you stand there and do this, you just want to drop to your knees and go, "Oh my God." In the little, they're huge. I don't know how many people it would take, you know, like this, to reach around one of those trees, you know. One of them had fallen down. They've tunneled through it, and I drove my car through there. And there was plenty of room left. I mean, it was big. They sell the seeds for those trees in the gift shop. You take the seeds out and look at them out of the little packet. They're smaller than corn. They're smaller than most seeds that you plant in your backyard. You take that little bitty seed and you look at it. You look out the window at that tree. You look at that seed. Well, if you can picture what God is facing when he rebirths us. Let's take Gary Carpenter. I'll be nice to you and not so nice on me. You know, you're welcome. Sue and I were 33 years old when we really got born again. So 33 years on planet Earth, all of my understanding and all of my perceptions, let's say it this way, for 33 years, my soul had been trained by a death nature in a fallen world. All of my perceptions and all of my understandings and all of my value systems, that's what I had in me. 33 years. So if you can picture Gary's soul as this forest with giant, fleshy, redwood trees. You know, do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong, you know. I used to make this joke all the time. I'd leave in the morning for work and I'm going to say, "I'm going to show a magic trick today. I'm going to show you how to make their money into my money." And thing of it is, I was serious about that. And I was pretty good at it, you know. Well, so I had all of these, let's call them strongholds. I had all of this redwood forest, you know, giant, 33 years worth of growth, you know. Here comes God coming over with a helicopter. The day I bowed my knee in the living room and asked the Lord to come in, and he brings this new nature. He said, "It comes in like a mustard seed out of the helicopter." lands in the soil amidst these giant trees that are so big and so thick, there's no hardly any sunlight or anything. It's just, and then God says, I gave you that to possess your soul. New nature. That's kind of what God's faced with. You know? Now that within that new nature, what is it that, you know, Davis taught us again? Every seed contains a complete image. Every seed, a corn seed. You know, you take a corn plant in Oklahoma at harvest time, it's taller than your head, at least taller than my head. It's way up here about like this. It's green. It's got several ears of corn on it. And in the corn is kind of a whitish yellow looking, you know. And they give you a corn seed. And they give you that little, you know, it's about the size of a quarter inch or so. And you go plant that in the ground and you're waiting. You know, it's yellow. You plant it in the ground and something green starts coming up. So, well, I planted something yellow. Now something green is coming. A lot of tendency is to go rip it up and start over again. That won't work. But see, the secret is all of the complete image of the entire corn plant is on the inside of that little seed. If you let it, like Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, what happens is that image that's on the inside of the seed eventually becomes the entire plant manifested, where you can not only see it, but you can enjoy the fruit of it. That is exactly what God has done with the new birth. That seed may seem so little amongst this vast redwood forest of wrong thinking, wrong believing, selfishness, and all these things that are still in the soul. I mean, Galatians is written to Christians. You do know that. All of that stuff can still reside in your soul. It's got to be possessed. It's got to be renewed by the Word of God, and by more than just knowledge too. It transforms everything about you, see. But it's a process. But eventually, see if you can picture that: first the blade, then the ear, this new nature growing up, and pretty soon it starts getting big, and it starts, okay, we're going to start crowding out some of these trees. Kabam, kabam. Pushing out trees. Pretty soon, if you let that new nature have its way. See, what is the image contained in the seed of the new nature? It's Jesus Christ Himself. It's Him. And the Bible says Jesus is the express image of God. Whew. Man, if we can learn how to let that image take over the garden, take over the redwoods, take over the strongholds, and push all of that. God will take over your garden. The new nature will take over your life. You become a whole different person, and that's what we're all about here. Now, it starts with the new nature alone. See, now we're back at Romans 8. You've got that Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. See, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, in the margin you could just write right there, new nature. That's what it's talking about. If you don't have the nature from the last Adam, you're not born again. So how many of you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you? Can I say, okay, all right. And if Christ be in you, okay, let me see it again. How many? Okay, all right. Well, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, and that should be little s there, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit here, he's talking about the new nature. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, that should be little s, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, little s, that dwells in you. He's just like, in the same way that he imparted life back to Jesus to quicken him from the dead, he imparted life to you to quicken you from the dead. Amen? All right. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Well, how would we do that? We just read the list over there. Fornication, adultery, drinking and all of that stuff, but then also living in hatred and strife and emulations and variance and all of that internal type stuff. That's how you live after the flesh. But we're not debtors to live after the flesh anymore. For if you do live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, and dear God, please draw a little S there. That is he talks about the Holy Ghost later on in the same chapter. But here he's talking about the new nature. And we know that the new nature alone is enough to conquer those things. You know why we know? Because Jesus, for 30 years before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, says he was tempted in all points like as we are. Now, not some different way. If he wasn't tempted like I'm tempted, he's not my substitute. If he wasn't tempted in the same way that we're tempted, he's not our example. If he did anything he did by virtue of being God, well, he's not my pattern. He's not my example. Now, he was God in the flesh. It plainly says God was manifested in the flesh, but it says he set aside, he laid down his divinity. Everything he did with the same equipment he has given you. Well, religion don't like that. Sometimes your own soul don't like that, because there's an accountability factor. But see, he lived sin-free, overcame every temptation with the new nature alone, not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. So when it says here, "For if you shall live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through that new nature on the inside of you is a conquering son of a gun." I mean, it was put in you to conquer. It doesn't know anything about defeat. It doesn't know anything about tired. It doesn't know anything about give up. It's a conqueror, and that's why he put it in you, to conquer everything in you that's not like Christ. But if you through the Spirit, through that new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, that the wording here is precise. The deeds of the body. See, it starts there. I'll use me again. I hope you apply this to everything. When I stopped my body from smoking, I was not smoking on the outside, but I was still smoking on the inside. It starts with the deeds of the body. But remember, you can be trained. That body thing can be trained. Okay? It starts there. But as you continue to do this renewal process, even a better one is way back there when I had to forgive that certain couple that did me such wrong. I mean, I didn't even see my part in it for years, you know. I mean, I was Mr. Righteous and they were sin incarnate, which is not the case. But I saw it that way then. And God says, "You're going to have to forgive them." And I said, I don't want to forgive them. I want them to die and I want to do the killing, you know. And it took him forever. He just gently kept coming back. He says, "Well, no, you're not going to go over." He would take me back to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, where it says, "If you don't forgive," and I'm going out. He says, "You're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive them. I do not want to forgive them." He just kept on and on and on. You know, take me over there, pray for those that despitefully use you, do good to them and so forth. And I go, "I don't want to do any of that." Flesh. Unrenewed part of the soul. Okay? So finally, he asked me that question. This is even a better example. He says, "Now, would you be willing?" All he was asking me to do was pray for them. He says, "You don't want them to go to hell, do you?" And I went, but after I thought on that for a while, I went, "Okay, I don't guess I really want anybody to go to hell." Okay. He said, "Well, would you just pray for that? Just pray for them." I didn't want to. He asked me that question. He says, "Would you be willing to be made willing to pray for them?" Think about that now. If I was willing. If you could make me willing, I guess then I would be willing. I'm not willing now, but I'm willing to be made willing, because then if I was made willing, then I'd be willing. Oh, yeah, I'd go for that. So he finally got me to commit to just pray. The simplest prayer ever. He says, "All I want you to do is every time you think of them, just say, 'Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you bless them.' That's all. I pray that you bless them, Father." I still remember the first time. And I've told you before, this is absolutely the way it happened. I thought of them. I went, "Oh." You ever try not to think of something? I don't want to pray, so I'm not going to think of them. Oh, man. Right there, you thought of them. "Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you bless them." And you know that I don't mean it. You know. Now, see here again. The deeds of the body. You start on the outside. I was sheer, raw obedience. It's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. You got to start somewhere. Start with my lips. I was praying a prayer to bless them on the outside. On the inside, I was going, get them, God, come on. In a bad way. Fire and brimstone, God. You know? But what an amazing thing began to happen. Every time I would think of them, and it would happen several times a day, I'd go, here we go. I'd pray for them. As I began that little tiny step of obedience, it opened a door somehow. And little by little, he began opening my understanding to where I could see more from his perspective. He began, in this particular case, now he began showing me my part in causing that whole thing to come to pass. And the more I prayed, the more he showed me. See, in the beginning, I got to phrase this carefully. I was Mr. Righteous, and they were all evil. By the time it was over, they were the good guys, and I was the evil dragon. And I was praying more for my mercy for me than I was mercy for them. But in the course of it, the point I'm trying to make, it starts on the outside. It starts with obedience. Notice how this is worded. If you, through the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body. With my smoking, it was that way. With the drinking, it was that way. With the forgiveness, it was that way. In fact, everything I can think of, it's been that way. It starts with forcing your body, and there is the warfare. There is the groaning right there. There is what we're getting into later. It's not always easy. Now, it says, we read last week about the captain of our salvation was made perfect through sufferings. Here in a minute, we're going to look at being joint heirs with him again. And if we suffer with him, what? The same kind of suffering he went through. He was tempted in every point like as we are. Yet there is suffering to restricting the flesh. Now, not Jesus. Well, if it's not Jesus, he wasn't tempted like we are. Quiet in this Pentecostal church. Whatever church it is, it's quiet in here. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, little s, through the new nature, do mortify. Mortify means just exactly what you think it means. I like how Dave taught us on that one. He says, what does mortify mean? Let's get the definition of mortify. He says, if you spend the night in a morgue under the hands of a mortician, in the morning, you will be mortified. And your body will not sin anymore. That's exactly what this means. Through that new nature, you can at least bring the body to a dead stop. It has no authority over your new nature. A good practice playground to get good at that is fasting. Because fasting, you know, you can escape from quickly at any time. You will not die. Okay, I'm going to fast. I've got a cheeseburger ready. I'm going to do a 40-day fast. And Daisy goes, don't start with a 40-day. I'm going to do a 40-day fast. But I advise you, have the cheeseburger close. Because what you're going to find when you start doing that, you're going to, on purpose, you have started a war with the flesh. And the emotions are going to start coming onto the battlefield. And the flesh has got its giants. You've got your armor. You've come out into the field of Armageddon. And it's a fight to the cheeseburger. No, it's a fight to the... I'm going to fast for 40 days. Ah! And here comes this war. And you're trying to stand strong, you know, and that's part of learning how to overcome. You know? And again, you started, he's going to do a 40-day fast and you did a 40-minute one. All right? Well, so what? You did 40 minutes. Every journey begins with a single step. You started. God's not going to dock you for that. He's going to go, hey, that's 40 minutes more than you've ever done before. You know, that's the way God is. I mean, you know, all right, let's have a salad to go with it, and we'll start again tomorrow. You know, but see, you can do, that's one of the great, fasting is a great tool to start possessing the land of your emotions. Start learning to conquer in that realm. Now, your body will lie to you. It's going to tell you you're going to die. You've only been fasting 1 hour, but you're going to die if you don't, you know. All right, let's keep going here a little bit. So, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, I can tell you from experience, it starts with mortifying the deeds. But it will end if you continue. You will become, as you continue to do everything, not just resist that, but continue to do the whole message. Eventually, whatever that is in the flesh, you won't love it anymore. I don't love smoking anymore. There was a time I did. I told everybody I love it. I did. I don't love it anymore. Don't want to do it anymore. Nothing in me wants to do it. Don't want to get drunk. Don't want to go to the bars. No, there's nothing in me for none of that. You know, I don't want to make money for money's sake anymore. I don't care anything about being filthy rich just to be filthy rich. I want to have money to do anything God asks me to do, and I want to have money to help you do whatever God asks you to do. That would be great. Okay? But your motivations changes as this goes on. And then we come to verse 14 that most people quote out of context. It says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, there is a leadership that comes. See, that's a capital S. It shouldn't be. It's really still talking about the new nature. But I don't really try and, you know, just jump on people when they quote it. Well, the Holy Spirit leads you. Because there is a leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost. We teach on that all the time here out of Acts 16 and the vision that came to Peter on the rooftop. And all of those things were leadership that came by the Holy Spirit. You know, generating a night vision for Paul, you know, come over into Macedonia and help us. There is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. But this verse is not at all talking about that. This verse should be a little S, and it's really talking about it as you learn to be led by that new nature instead of your flesh. You progressively become. You walk more and more as a son of God. You know, they had this thing called a bar mitzvah in the Jewish culture. I think it's 12 years old, I think. And really the celebration is, okay, our son who was a child, this day, we're having a little party and a celebration, because this day he's reached maturity, and now, as far as we're concerned, he's a grown man, at least old enough to participate in the family business. Well, that's kind of what this is talking about here. If you learn to be led, yes, sir, you probably didn't keep, be finding Galatians again, Galatians 5 again. This one here, he's saying, for as many as are led by the new nature, that Spirit of God is exactly talking about being led by your new nature, they are the sons of God. In the context of our teaching today, when you come to the place where you don't render evil for evil anymore, and it's just normal to you. Why? Well, his nature has overtaken your garden. That's who you are now. You don't have to force it anymore. It's who you are now. Now, the flesh has to be trained into that. It has to be renewed into that. But you can come to the place. I've watched Dave for years. I don't think he has to restrain murder anymore. Do y'all? Doesn't he just ooze out of every pore? You know? It's the nature of Christ, you know? I'm not saying he ever had to restrain murder. Okay, I'm just saying. With everybody, it starts with stopping the deeds of the body, then renewing the soul until you literally, it becomes you. Okay. But for as many as are led by the new nature, they are the sons of God. And in the context, it's what this is talking about. As you learn to walk by the nature that he put in you, we have your bar mitzvah now. Now you're a son. I don't care if you're a girl, you're an heir. Old enough now, mature enough now to help him in the family business. Because you quit suing everybody's britches off that does something evil to you. You quit doing evil for evil. You quit getting revenge. As long as you're like that, you're not ready for the family business. Now, in that same, let me give you a corresponding verse. I ought to do a test right here. How many knows the verse right before the verse in Galatians where it starts listing the works of the flesh? I didn't know it for years. I couldn't have passed my own test. Let's go look at it. Galatians 5. We started a while ago in 19 on the works of the flesh. It's verse 18. This is a perfect correlation to Romans 8:14. In 8, 14, Romans 8:14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, little s, new nature, they are the sons of God." Over here he says, this should be little s also, "For if you be led of the Spirit," not talking here about the leadership of, you can, this whole chapter is contrasting the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of your new nature, compared with the fruit of the flesh. That's, it's not talking about the flesh against the Holy Spirit, it's comparing the flesh with your new nature. So when he says here, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now what if you're not led by the Spirit? What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're not born again. You're not letting that new nature lead you. Well, I'm going to continue to fornicate. I want to go to heaven. But I'm just going to fornicate all I can. I just like it. I'm making an example. Or stealing. Let's pick something stealing. Now stealing, come on. We both know stealing is good. That's the way the flesh is. There's, you know, maybe you've renewed your, I mean, you know, we're taking an extreme case. You don't lie anymore. You don't get revenge anymore. You don't do any of that. You've renewed all these compartments of the soul except this one area. And you go, oh, come on now. We all know stealing is good. If I steal, I get your stuff. That's great. You're under the law, buddy. See, that's why we have laws in the land. And in this country, thank God, the laws of our land are pretty much codified after the law of Moses. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this and that. We have to keep you under law. It goes back to Dave with putting the wolf on the chain. Now you may not be a wolf anymore, you might really be his child. But if you're still going around doing those things, see, we got to put you back under law till you grow up. Is that good or what? Is that good stuff? All right. But if you be led of the new nature, I hope you're right. Don't leave that capital S there. Traditional thinking will creep back in. You'll start getting mixed up. He's not talking about being led by the Holy Ghost there. He's talking about being led by the new nature. Where the new nature has taken over your garden to the point. See, we never did make it to Romans 13 this morning. I was hoping we would. We'll get to it eventually. Romans 13 is where it says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love doesn't work any ill towards its neighbor. Well, think about it. I wouldn't steal from Michael Muccio. I wouldn't steal from George back there and these friends of mine. Now, Daisy. No, I wouldn't steal from Daisy. You know? You know? I mean, you don't do evil things with people that you love, see? Well, he's wanting us to not just love the lovable. He's calling us to love the unlovable. Because that's what he is. Well, boy, that's going to take some work. Now, we'll get back to Romans 8. Dear Lord. For as many as are led by, verse 14 again, for as many as are led by the new nature, by the Spirit of God, little s, they are the mature sons of God. They're the ones that are ready for the family business. Until then, he can't send you to win that old wicked sinner. You'll get offended. You'll take him to court. You'll do all kinds of things. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's the spirit of Adam. But you have received the spirit of adoption, that should be little s too, that's the new nature, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this verse 16, like Dave will teach you on the born again trail, this is the first verse in Romans chapter 8 where the Holy Spirit is truly mentioned. And you can tell real easy because he talks about both in the same verse. The Spirit, capital S, itself bears witness with our spirit, little s, the new nature, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. How many is happy about that? I am so happy about that. Heirs of God, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ, praise God. If so be that we suffer with him, what? What? If so be that we what? And here he's really not talking about persecution from religion or persecution from your lost relatives so much. Here, what he's really talking about in the context. See, this struggle here he's talking about is you overcoming your own self. That's pretty good right there. The new nature overcoming what you perceive as you in the beginning. Well, all those excuses. I sat for years, I had the attitude, well, I'm just a smoking child. I had already tried everything. I'd pretty well give up, you know. I'm just a smoking child. I'm going to be a smoking child. He still heals people even though I smoke and all of this stuff, you know. I'd pretty well given up, but thank God he hadn't. He didn't give up. See? So what he's talking about here is the over... In other words, anything in us that says, I can't conquer, that's what needs conquering. And that's what the new nature is in you for. Now, we'll just have to skip down to it tonight because I am completely over already. Now, likewise, he talks about this for a few more verses, how the new nature is that conquering spirit on the inside of you to conquer every part, every chamber of your soul, every part of you, emotions, hurts, memories, everything in you, motivations. That new nature is a conquering spirit that will conquer every room, every part of that. And there is a warfare. That's the struggling. That's the suffering. Overcoming that flesh in every way. Jesus struggled with it himself. You can see it in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. There had to be two wills there, or why struggle? Not my will, but thine be done. He was tempted like we are. Okay? But it says, that spirit is a conqueror. But as if that's not enough. Now we have something else in verse 26. Likewise, in the same way. The Spirit, that should be capital S, the Holy Spirit, He also helps our infirmities. What's infirmities? What does that mean? That's every weakness of the flesh. That is not only the skin, the skeletal structure, that is wrong motives, hurts, desire for approval, desire for greatness. It's me, me, me. All of that me becomes all for Him. And the Holy Spirit, He also helps us. Did you get anything out of that? That helped me. I don't know if it helped you, but it helped me. All right, praise God.